Connor, are you there?
I am.
So today you're talking about anti-discriminatory laws.
Right. Yeah, we've actually got coming up tonight in American Fork. They have a city council meeting, and they have two ordinances that are up for a vote tonight. They've had a previous city council work session about them. There's been, you know, some input given. I saw an article saying the mayor had been flooded with a bunch of emails, and this has been a hot issue in the past couple of weeks since this kind of was sent to the public that it's going on. But there are two ordinances in American Fork, one that deals with housing and one that deals with employment. And both of the ordinances aim to outlaw discrimination and unfair practices, so-called, in housing and in employment practices for the city of American Fork. Now, these are, of course, modeled, if not...
But that sounds great, Connor. I mean, you're not for discriminatory practices, are you?
I actually am.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I am for discriminatory practices, as is every single person on the face of this planet, right? I like my water to be a certain temperature. I like my sandwiches to be grilled. I like black wrappers rather than white wrappers. I mean, we all discriminate on a wild number of things every day. Can you imagine, going to, some restaurant, maybe they hire Mexicans to cook the burritos because, either they're better at it or it kind of creates that company perception. You go to Hooters. Hooters is going to hire a certain type of woman to be their servers. They're not going to hire some, fat guy to, wait on tables. I mean, we all discriminate, and this really essentially boils down to private property issues. So while it's wrapped in emotional rhetoric, while it's understandable that there are people who are legitimately and perhaps unfairly being discriminated against, we're really talking about private property issues. Does a business owner or does a tenant have the individual liberty to discriminate? I contend that they do, even if that discrimination is bad, even if it's just downright awful. If a white restaurant owner tells a person simply because he's black that he's not going to be served and he has to leave, that's horrible. That restaurant should probably be boycotted. They'll probably lose a bunch of business, and there'll be negative things written about them in the papers and in social media. But the question is, should it be against the law for that to happen?
I think where people, and obviously Rand Paul took some heat for this, Ron Paul is taking heat for this.
Sure.
I think where the PR battle here is lost is that people forget to say, yeah, you know what, property rights are important, and as a matter of fact, more important. However, that doesn't curtail you from using your First Amendment right to protest or to call people out on discriminatory practices.
Right, and when you look at the Civil Rights Act, right, that was a big contentious thing during Rand Paul's campaign. And the issue is that they lump into one bill two completely distinct things, right? So to the extent that it said that bill said, as it did, that the government cannot discriminate, cannot withhold its services, or cannot unduly mandate things on one race versus the other. To the extent that it's simply saying the government cannot discriminate based on race or whatever characteristic, that is an entirely separate thing and acceptable. But to the extent that it also includes within that same legislation a mandate, an unjust mandate on a private property holder to likewise not discriminate on a certain characteristic, that exceeds the moral bounds of the law and is imposing a duty upon a private property holder that does not already exist.
Yeah, I think the battle is lost because a lot of times, people don't bring up the fact that, like you're saying, that, no, we're talking about government. Everybody's paying taxes into this pool, and so you shouldn't be able to put a nativity scene on a place where, Buddhists are paying for taxes too, or in the case of, blacks cannot be discriminated against by government workers. But the thing is they don't make the example like, well, so should a black business owner have to serve the head of the Ku Klux Klan? You put it on that terms, and all of a sudden you have all the people on the left on your side on this issue.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a completely imbalanced proposal. I mean, and it really always simply boils down to private property. Those who wrap themselves in this emotional rhetoric, and maybe they are, homosexual themselves and have been discriminated against by an employer, clearly, people have suffered as a result of discrimination, but people repeatedly suffer against various forms of discrimination. That does not create a right or a duty that the government can legitimately enter into a contractual agreement and enforce and say, you cannot fire this person or demote this person because they happen to be, gay or black or Jewish or what have you. There is no moral place for the law to intervene unless someone's rights have been infringed or violated. And in this case, that simply is not true. If I, as a tenant, I let's say I own an apartment complex, if I don't want to rent to a certain type of people based on any characteristics, that is my right. It is my property. No one has been violated. No one has been aggressed upon. No one has been coerced. And so the government cannot enforce an extra contractual duty upon me that I do not inherently have.
Well, but unfortunately it can, and it has for the last 40 years.
Perhaps I should say, at least in theory or morally, anyway.
Right. As an ethical principle, you're right. If indeed we do own ourselves, if there is such a thing as ownership, that we aren't slaves, that our labor doesn't belong to somebody else, and that our property doesn't belong to ourselves, then you're right. That would be a principled way to approach it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of places where this kind of stuff pops up. So I'm fascinated about these ordinances. What is it that they're proposing?
So there's two ordinances, one on housing, one on employment. For example, the one on housing is called an ordinance enacting a new chapter of the American Fork Municipal Code relating to unlawful discrimination in housing practices based on sexual orientation or gender identity. And it basically says that, you know, for any tenants that I believe it has more than four units, and if they're not a religious organization, so there's certain exemptions that they've carved out. For everyone else, though, you cannot withhold the opportunity to rent or buy or lease or what have you from someone who is simply on the basis of someone being homosexual. It makes it unlawful.
And my question is this. I mean, how ridiculous is this? How could you prove that? I could just say, you know, I just, you know, I'm not renting to this person because I had somebody else come through. Or, I mean, you can't read minds. There's no,
right,
like, you know, psychic division of the government, I hope.
Oh, well, Jake, this thing is like 10 pages long. It goes into all sorts of details about how to file a complaint and how the complaint's going to be. There's a whole section on investigation that, you know, the city administrator can try and begin his investigation and try and, you know, find everything out, can try to resolve the conflict, you know, the offenses and penalties. Let's see, a civil fine of not more than $500 or $1,000 depending on the situation. So, you know, they have a penalty in there. They have a recourse for trying to investigate and attempt to claim that someone has legitimately been discriminated upon, similar with the employment issue as well. You know, my contention is if discrimination was horrible, we wouldn't carve out exemptions. I mean, so if I'm a tenant and I have four units, what makes me different from a tenant with five units?
Well, and pretty suddenly soon it's okay. You won't be able to discriminate against somebody who is going to destroy your property, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. We might be coming to that. You know, but again, with the exception, so for example, they carve out the, you know, LDS Church being a big one. The LDS Church supported similar ordinances in Salt Lake.
Now, hold on just a sec, Connor. We're bumping against the commercial here. We'll come right back. We're speaking with Connor Boyack about anti-discriminatory laws and why they make no sense. Come on back, guys. Mental Self Defense Radio, right in the middle of the Boyack Review, right here on KTalk, AM 630. All right, guys, Mental Self Defense Radio. I am your host, Jake Shannon. We're right in the middle of the Boyack Review. Now, Connor, before we get back to this topic at hand, anti-discriminatory laws, kind of the silliness of them, or at least the unprincipled nature of them, you are going to be on, Fox Business Channel tomorrow night. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That'll be airing tomorrow at 6 p.m. locally here in Utah, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's Judge Napolitano's Freedom Watch show. So I'll be on there talking about my new book, Latter-day Liberty.
Awesome. I mean, he is one of the very few guys, in addition to, like, John Stossel and, like I've been ranting today, Dylan Radigan and a few others that kind of are allowed to at least speak the truth. So I know I'll be watching, and we'll certainly remind everybody again tomorrow. So good job on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited. That'll hopefully get some national attention and get some good sales going. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, Napolitano really has a lot of people from Utah on his show. I mean, I think a disproportionate amount compared to other states. I mean, I've seen Orrin Hatch was on last night. Mike Lee is on all the time. Chaffetz
right.
is on a bunch. It's kind of interesting. So I'm thrilled to see you kind of getting up there and giving a real pure pro-liberty argument. Not saying that Mike Lee isn't, but I guess I am, aren't I? Go ahead, Connor. Sorry.
Well, so back to this discrimination thing. You know, to be clear again, I initially in the first segment we established that we all discriminate on a number of factors. We might like our food prepared a certain way. We might like our business to be run a certain way. We might like our employees to be a certain gender. You know, we as private property holders have the right to the extent that we're engaging in voluntary contractual relationships between employer and employee, to require certain things. If the employee doesn't like that, as long as we haven't, you know, infringed upon their rights or coerced them in any way in which they could file a legal claim against us, then they can simply quit and move on. If I want to hire a certain type of people, or I only want to rent to, you know, families without kids, you know, are they going to claim, you know, familial discrimination because I won't allow them to have kids or pets or things like that? I mean, at what point do we draw a line and say private property holders have the right, the individual liberty, to use, dispose of, manage their property in whatever peaceful way that they see fit? I have no inherent right to rent my property or use my property in any way for the benefit of another person at all. I mean, you know, unless I've somehow infringed upon their rights and I have to recompense and be able to, you know, make restitution, I can see the law intervening there. But to argue that I, as a tenant or a business owner, need to use my property in the benefit of another person because of their, you know, innate characteristic or changed characteristic, I think that's a huge deviation from what the law morally is.
Yeah, I think the battle again on this is usually lost, just because, you know, usually somebody, a socialist or somebody who wants distribution of property, you know, or doesn't like property rights, will come up and say, oh, well, you know, what about blacks? Obviously, you hate black people, or you hate gay people, or something like that. But if you just flip it and you said, well, what if a guy who's a convicted, you know, gay basher, like, you know, beat up gay people, came into a gay establishment? Shouldn't they be able to say, no way, I'm not serving you food? I mean, I think that's where it gets lost, is people don't make the jump over to the other side and how it could actually apply to them. And I think it's even a bigger issue. This is actually, you know, especially with regards to employment, this is also speaks to the issue in immigration. In my opinion, anyway, you know, you hear these people talking about, and I know that you certainly have a controversial position, at least for Utah, on immigration.
Right.
That, you know, a lot of people, they say that, oh, immigrants are going to take our jobs, and it's a property issue. It's like, whose jobs are they?
Right.
They're not yours. They're not mine. It belongs to the entrepreneur, the guy, the business owner, and he should be able to hire whoever he wants.
Right, right. That's exactly right. This all boils down to what has become symptomatic through all of society on any number of political issues, and that is the entitlement mentality. You know, as it relates to anti-discrimination law against sexuality or gender identity is the new term for it, you know, people who fall into this category feel discriminated against. They feel entitled to a certain job or a certain promotion or rent an apartment in a certain building that they really want to. And just because the property owner, for whatever reason, whether he claims a religious problem or just personal preference, if that individual decides not to, that person feels that they've been unfairly discriminated against. They feel entitled to that position, and they think that the law should be able to intervene and require that the person. Here's my thing. If I want to be employed by someone and they don't, let's say, you know, I'm Mormon and I move to, you know, the Bible Belt and some employer just hates Mormons, has heard all this bad stuff about them and doesn't want to hire me, why in the world would I want the law to go in and force that employer to hire me or punish them for not hiring me because I'm Mormon? If that guy really doesn't like me and my Mormonness, you know, my religion, why would I want to work with him? You know,
He's going to be miserable.
Why would I subject myself to that environment where, like, even though the law has intervened and kind of forced a relationship between us that otherwise wouldn't have existed if the employer had his way, why would I want to subject myself to that? I'd rather move on and find someone who either doesn't care or likes my religion or is totally ambivalent to it and just says, you know what, I know you're a hard worker. I couldn't care what, you know, less what your religion is, and I'll hire you. That's what I think those who feel discriminated against should really be focusing on, is using the power of persuasion and the market to show that these employers, if and when it can be legitimately proved that they are discriminating unfairly based on sexual preference or gender identity, then, you know, build an educational campaign around it. Do a protest. That's fine. These are peaceful measures and First Amendment measures through which you can try and get your cause advanced. But to turn to the law, there is no moral place for the law to intervene when no one's rights have been infringed.
Well, I think in the case of somebody like Rand Paul, you know, first of all, he's from the South. So you say that any kind of this argument and people are just going to automatically say he's racist because of it. And I really honestly don't think that that's the truth. Second of all, Ron Paul's baggage from those stupid newsletters in the early 90s
right.
Doesn't help any. And then the fact is, like I said, PR-wise, if you just made the case that, you know, So a gay person who's an owner wouldn't want this same thing foisted upon them, if confronted with, or a black person with a KKK leader or, you know, some white supremacist, they shouldn't be forced to either. I mean, I think that's, and the other part is that libertarians, I think, in large part because somebody like Ayn Rand and a Murray Rothbard were largely popular because they posited these arguments that were sort of aggressive or maybe provocative a little
radical,
bit.
Radical, sure.
Yeah, like Ayn Rand comes to mind with the virtue of selfishness. And you know what? Most people think selfish doesn't mean rational, benevolent self-interest, you know, and then help other people. Most people think selfish means, you know, screw everyone. I'm number one. To heck with everybody else. And I think that's part. I think that plagues liberty opponents. And you raise a really, really good point that this equality issue, yes, by all means, libertarians need to embrace equality before the law, but not in this distribution of property. I mean, this is that whole argument between, you know, like economic justice and political justice, you know?
Well, and I think those who are advocating for these types of anti-discrimination ordinances need to answer this. As we've established previously, as is the general fundamental tenets of what individual liberty is, the proper function of government is reduced only to the spheres of influence and activity in which you or I as individuals have the right, inherent right, to act. Right? So if I can coerce my neighbor to do something or seek redress because he legitimately infringed upon my right, I can delegate that power to the government. The government can be legitimately and morally empowered to do that collectively on my behalf. So if I'm an employer and a homosexual individual applies for the job, and let's say I'm just, you know, in this example, a bigoted person who doesn't want to work with homosexuals just because. And of course, that's going to get pulled off into a soundbite that'll be used by someone, I'm sure. You know, in this case, then, do you, as my neighbor or as a competitor for, you know, another business, do you have the right to intervene and to use coercion against me or to lock me in your basement or to impose a fine upon me or to beat me upside the head because I've done that? I have not infringed upon anyone else's right. I perhaps may have made a stupid decision or done something bigoted or unfair.
Yeah, this is not an endorsement of anything. Just like how a libertarian could be anti-drugs, yet not want the war on drugs or the government involved with it because it's stupid. It's the wrong way to go about it.
Right, and that's a huge distinction that I think too many people conflate, and that is opposing the criminalization of something is not an endorsement of that. Right? I oppose the criminalization of marijuana. That doesn't mean I support or think that people should ingest and use and distribute marijuana. I've never used it in my life, but I think it's ridiculous to assume that the government can intervene and criminalize someone growing a naturally occurring plant.
Well, and that's not the right way to go about it. I'll take a two-pack a day in my other life as a hypnotherapist. I'll take a two-pack a day smoker who's been doing it 20 years and 2 hours with me. Boom, they're done. No government intervention, no taxing on the cigarettes. I mean, that's ridiculous. It doesn't work.
Right. You know, I oppose the criminalization of skydiving, even though it's a legitimately dangerous and, you know, activity. Does that mean or base jumping or what have you? That doesn't mean that the law should intervene because people are doing dangerous things to themselves or, you know, in regards to other people. Only when people have legitimately infringed upon another person's right can we empower the government to do anything. Now, of course, as you point out, there's all sorts of unintended consequences to the contrary. If I, you know, am like a homosexual activist and I support these ordinances because, you know, we feel unfairly targeted, then, as you've, you know, noted many times in this segment, there's going to be unintended consequences that those people aren't going to like. It's just that this is such an emotional pet issue for them that they don't even, you know, as Bastiat said, right, the law of unintended consequences. We see the initial consequences, the immediate ones, and we like them. But oftentimes when we like the initial consequences, the unintended, the unseen consequences down the road are very detrimental. And it's only a good economist who can try and take both into account and plan for the seen and the unseen and then make a decision accordingly. I don't think the supporters of anti-discrimination ordinances right now are really taking into account those unseen consequences and what might be happening down the road in the reverse.
Well, and you point, you know, your book, I think, is instructive here, or maybe your book, but also just the idea that seems to be so fundamental to the LDS faith. And again, I am not LDS, so please, you know, slap me if I'm wrong here, but this idea of agency, it's the same idea with freedom. Freedom means you have the freedom to make a mistake, as long as nobody is harmed in a physical or in a property rights kind of way. And that's kind of the same thing with agency or the root of morality. You only have morality insofar as you actually have the right to, you yourself, as an agent, choose right or wrong. Isn't that correct with regards to the LDS faith?
Yeah, I mean, agency is a fundamental component. We are free to choose. We are accountable for our choices. We have to be knowledgeable of those choices, so that definitely is an influencing factor here. And, you know, if I'm making a bad decision to withhold employment from someone on the basis of, you know, race or gender or gender identity, then that may be a bad decision. I may have chosen poorly, and I may suffer in the marketplace from people boycotting my business. But to presume that I can be fined or jailed or whatever the punishments may end up being for these types of ordinances simply because my preference dictates that I don't want to affiliate with people that have a certain characteristic, that is no moral place for the law. There are no individual rights to a job or to an apartment that I have infringed upon. And so the government really cannot morally intervene. Now, it can immorally intervene, and as you noted, it does and has for a long time. But I think the supporters of these types of ordinances don't really care too much about such arguments. They simply see the goal that they're trying to reach and are, you know, ecstatic to see cities and counties adopting these ordinances and disregard any of the potential unintended consequences merely because they see such a huge benefit from getting these passed and, you know, whether that's making a statement or feeling legitimately protected by the law from having an employer who, you know, may fire or demote them after finding out about that characteristic. I don't think they answer these types of questions, and I think it's to their detriment and our collective detriment to be delegating to the government illegitimately these types of powers and corrupting what the law morally should be.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating because I think that a lot of the people that support these laws, I do think... I have mixed feelings about unintended consequences because I do think that there are sometimes these bureaucrats that actually do intend these awful consequences, and they get away with it because it's like, oops, we didn't know, we're just dumb bureaucrats. But right. I do think in the case of this particular issue, I do think this is largely people with their heart in the right place and not thinking, though. Their brain's not in the right place.
Well, and a perfect example of that, just in conclusion, I know we're hitting the hour break, is one of the city councilmen, city councilwoman, Heidi Rodeback, she posted a blog post the other day and talked about how these ordinances will, quote, grant two basic human rights to people of all beliefs, even those whose beliefs and practices differ from my own. And, you know, that is totally problematic. The government cannot grant any rights. There are no such thing as, you know, human rights. There are individual rights, but the government cannot grant new rights. Rights exist because of our innate existence, our individuality, whether you consider yourself from a creator or simply, you know, being born with the sovereign capacity that you have as a human being. But the government does not grant those rights. The government exists legitimately only to defend our rights, our life, our liberty, and our property. And in this case, all three are violated. Life, liberty, and property, as a result of anti-discrimination laws, are violated.
Yep. Good topic today, Connor. Knock 'em dead tomorrow. I will remind everybody to watch you on Judge Napolitano's show.
Great, thank you.
Okay, so come back tomorrow, guys. More Mental Self-Defense Radio.